Time to catch up on the day's business news now. And in the bulletin this morning, minerals manufacturers set to face testing times. Sky Television's new chair stresses the need to focus on customers. And we'll have the latest from the money markets. Neither the Reserve Bank interest rates nor an election year spending spree by government are likely to do much to give the economy a shot in the arm. Economics consultancy Infometrics' latest forecast suggests annual economic growth will continue to track lower and will sit between 2 and 2.5% over the next couple of years. Infometrics chief forecaster Gareth Keenan says the US-China trade dispute is weighing on growth globally, while back in New Zealand, the slowing population growth, peaking construction activity, weak business confidence, a lack of capital investment, and poor labour productivity. He says there aren't too many bright spots on the horizon just at the moment.
We've got the Reserve Bank cutting interest rates, trying to stimulate the economy. There's been increasing calls, obviously, for the government to stimulate the economy as well, given the size of the fiscal surplus they've been running. But our view is that neither of those are going to be particularly effective in getting the economy going. There'll be a little bit of momentum there from interest rates, and we are expecting more stimulatory fiscal policy, new initiatives from the government to come out as well. But not convinced that either of those will have a significant impact against the sort of soggy domestic conditions and the difficult global conditions that we're facing.
As far as the Reserve Bank's concerned and its official cash rate lever, what other options does it have available to it, and what can you see, what moves can you perhaps see it making in the next wee while?
Yeah, probably the biggest one for us is another easing of the loan-to-value restrictions that the bank has had in place over the last few years, and they did ease them at the start of 2018 and again at the start of 2019. So we'd be looking for those to be relaxed even more, and looking forward through 2020 and 2021, there may be enough there, making it easier for people to get into the housing market. There might be enough to stimulate a bit of a recovery, a brief recovery in house price growth.
That's Chief Forecaster at Infometrics, Gareth Keenan, talking to Kim Savage. Well, the country's mineral manufacturing sector is expected to face some testing times with softer prices, tighter margins and sluggish export markets. A report from Westpac Bank says the industry, which generates about $13 billion a year in sales, will continue to grow. However, it says many smaller firms will struggle to adapt to longer-term changes, which will shape the sector's fortunes. They include rapid technological changes and intensifying environmental pressures. Westpac's industry economist Paul Clark says the big manufacturers of concrete, steel and aluminium will likely get through the changes, but the smaller ones, which produce finished products such as glass bottles, may find it impossible to compete with imports.
Well, I think it's going to continue to grow an overall size, and that's really driven by some of the fundamentals. So the fact is we've got more people. And if you've got more people, you need more goods. And more goods basically are made up of metal, and they're made up of glass, and they're made up of all these things. And we need to build more and more buildings. So from a structural point of view, there are positive drivers of revenue growth. We just think that some of these other factors, particularly around technology and environmental factors, may curb that growth going forward.
And what about the downstream effects for the consumers if there are fewer smaller firms manufacturing in this space?
Well, the whole idea, I suppose, is that technology will drive down prices, imports will become more competitive, consumers then basically can go abroad. They may work with a local provider who will work with them to develop a solution that they're looking for, but that local company won't actually do the production. The production will be done offshore.
And do you think that's desirable? What will replace it?
What will replace it will be the fact that a lot of these smaller manufacturers, and that's not to say all smaller manufacturers will be affected. There will still be some that operate in niches, but a lot of these smaller players will become design houses. So they're effectively moving downstream.
That's Westpac industry economist Paul Clark talking to Nona Peltier. Just coming up to 6 minutes to seven. Well, the new chair of Sky Television isn't pleased with the company's market value, but he's optimistic it will improve by the company focusing on customer needs. Philip Bowman has just replaced the long-standing chair, Peter Marcourt. The international businessman moved to Auckland a couple of years ago after holding roles at Sky in Britain and fashion brand Burberry, as well as in the alcohol and engineering industries. Mr. Bowman says he's attracted to Sky because it's at an interesting crossroad. He says there's opportunity in its many challenges.
I think the largest headwinds we see at the moment are twofold. Firstly, I think as being something of a monopoly for many years, the business has not been as focused on its customers as it needed to be. And I think that's true. If you look back into the 1960s and 70s when IBM basically was, you know, the leading consumer computer company, they had exactly the same issues. And when competition came into the market on a big scale, they found it more difficult. I think that's one. We need to understand what our customers want, what they're prepared to pay for. We needed to reposition Sky to actually be able to take advantages of the change in technology. And I think finally the issue is one of content. And you know, you see in every market this dynamic between price of contact, preparedness of viewer to pay. Objective has to be to extend the business outside New Zealand and generate alternative streams of revenue.
That's the new chair of Sky Television, Sky Network Television, Philip Bowman. Well, gender diversity at some of the companies trying to champion it isn't as good as one would hope. The Champions for Change, which promotes diversity in the workplace, has found many of its own members are lacking diversity in senior executive roles. Its annual report shows that its overall membership outperforms NZX-listed firms when it comes to diversity, but most of their boards and management teams are still male-dominated. The least diverse members of the group are New Zealand Rugby, the law firm Bell Gully, Fonterra, and accounting firms EY and KPMG, as well as the consulting firm McKinsey, which has no women in its senior ranks at all. The chair of the organisation, Champions for Change, and accounting firm PwC is Michelle Embling, and she says achieving diversity is harder for some industries.
If you are in a heavy technology or heavy engineering, something like that, your challenges are probably a pipeline one, because we just have a small percentage of women who actually study and get experience in those subjects. So, you know, your challenge if you're in those industries is right back societal and in schools, and what subjects do women choose, or what career paths do they choose. If you're in something like financial services or the professional services like law or accounting, things like that, where the pipeline is probably pretty good, it's around retention and encouraging women and supporting them into senior roles.
That's Michelle Embling, Chair of Champions for Change. Time to have a look at financial markets now. Wall Street is marginally higher. It's just gained a little bit of a spring in its step in the last 15 minutes or so. The prospects of a Brexit deal and some solid earnings reports are underpinning sentiment. Dow Jones Industrial Average currently up around 42 points, just over a tenth of a percent. The other main indices, the NASDAQ and the S&P 500, are up about a third of a percent. Not so for our own top 50 index. It had a down day yesterday, falling 37 points. That's one third of a percent. It starts the morning at 11,142. The New Zealand dollar, it's certainly got a bit of spring in its step. It's firmer at 63.5 US cents, 93 Australian, 49.4 British pence, 0.570 euro, 68.9 Japanese yen, and 4.49 yuan. Brent crude oil is flat, $59.50 US a barrel. And gold is up $7, about half a percent, $1,496 US dollars an ounce. In other business news this morning, Commerce Commission's given Queenstown Bungee clearance to buy a bungee swing and related business in Taupo. The competition watchdog says it's satisfied the purchase of Taupo Bungee won't lessen competition in the market, even though Queenstown Bungee owns adventure tourism operations in Auckland. It says the businesses aren't close competitors. And staying with the Commerce Commission, it's got a court order to protect the confidentiality of information that was on a computer stolen from one of its external service providers. The injunction is against unknown persons who may or may not at this stage possess the information that was on the computer. Whichever way, it can't be used. That's business for now. We'll update the market numbers for you at around 8:30.